Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, supporting the next generation of farmers with the Fresh Roots Young and Beginning Farmer Program, offering lending assistance and learning incentives to equip today's newest farmers for a healthy start in their farming careers.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the second day of October 2018. I'm Todd Gleason, coming to you from Gleason Farms again today in Logan County, where it's not quite as busy as yesterday, so maybe not so much noise in the background, but we'll see how things go as we progress through the program. I'll give you an update of the commodity markets in just a second, and then we'll take a look at the futures trade in Chicago with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. As we close out our time together, Don Day should be here from Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, we'll check in with Harry Cooney at Growmark to see what conditions are like for diesel fuel supplies and for the LP or propane that'll run some of those gas dryers in our more northern reaches of the Corn Belt. And we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, here are some of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon, and these are closes but not settlement prices. December corn up a penny and three quarters right at the close, finished at $3.67.5. The March at $3.79.5, up one and three quarters, and the May at $3.86.75, up 1.5 cents. July $3.91.75, a penny and a half higher, and December at $4.75 higher. November bean futures up 9.25 today, $8.67. The settlement price January at $8.80.75, 9 higher. The March at $8.93.25, up 9. And May at $9.06.5, up 9.25. Next year's November beans at $9.32.25, 9.5 cents higher. The bean meal finished at $3.11.20, up 70. The bean oil at $29.30, 29 cents higher for the day. December wheat futures up 10.75, settled $5.20.25. July at $5.55.25, up 10.75. And the hard red, July at $5.65.5, 13.5 cents higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago, the October up 30 cents at $113.97.5. October feeders at $159.75, up 42.5 cents for the day. And the lean hogs at $66.42.5, $1.67.5 higher for the afternoon. A bit quieter here on the farm in Elkhart, Illinois, Logan County today, mostly because there's a whole lot more waiting time as we're just down one semi, so I'm on the in the lot. And that makes a really big difference. Here's what some of the other markets are trading like at this hour. November crude oil at $75.29 a barrel, up 2 cents, rather down 2 cents. Ethanol at $1.30.5, that's a penny higher for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.40.9, just about unchanged. And the gasoline on the RBOB the same at $2.12.7. Natural gas at $3.16.7, up 7.3. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 26,830. That's up 150 points. The U.S. dollar at 95.145 is up 0.216. The S&P 500 at 29.35.25, up 5.25 points. And the gold futures for the day at $1,202.30. $15.20 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon into the night. High today of 77 degrees on a west-northwest wind at about 9, gusting to 15. Then this evening, cloudy, a low of 64, calm winds turning to the south-southeast at 6 to 8 miles an hour. That'll happen after midnight. That'll bring us partly sunny skies in the area and a high of 89 tomorrow. It'll be breezy tomorrow with a southeast wind at 8 to 13, increasing to 16 to 21 in the afternoon, winds as high as 32 degrees. And then the part you want to hear about, showers are likely on after 1 a.m. on Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy and around 68 degrees. We'll have a 60% chance of rainfall, and we might get a tenth or so. And then Thursday, that'll continue. We'll go to a high of 74 degrees, a 60% chance of rainfall, maybe a quarter of an inch. Thursday evening, 70% chance of rainfall. Another quarter of an inch possibly will fall, and we'll drop to a low of 58 degrees. And then on Friday, more showers, 84 degrees, 70% chance of rainfall, with maybe a quarter of an inch of accumulation then as well. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in the field this afternoon, Logan County, Illinois, where we're harvesting corn on Gleason Farms. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. It is in the noon hour here, Wayne, while we're talking. Looks like another pretty decent day after the U.S., Mexico, and Canada put together a new NAFTA 2.0. It's called something else, the U.S. Mexico-Canada agreement. So I'm wondering why we're following up this way, especially when I saw some FC Stone numbers that look pretty big.
Those FC Stone numbers were big, Todd. 182.7 on the corn and 54 on the beans. And, you know, we're not hearing any good news out of China. You wonder how beans are having another 6-cent rally today here as we speak. But then again, the last few years, like I think 7 out of the last 8 years, Stone's been a little bit above the government on the October report. But that's still big numbers, and they can still be above them, and it's a lot of beans to handle that way. But we are hearing about some damaged beans and sort of a black color in northern Illinois where the wind sort of knocked stuff down and some water's coming across that way. So we've heard from people in Ohio, over in Indiana on the eastern side and part of northern Illinois that where we're having a little bit of damage in some of the beans coming out.
Yeah, more rain and wind actually coming in the next several days. I suppose the market, as it should, is looking ahead to some of that weather that may be coming through the Corn Belt.
Well, I think they have to be if we look at the way we're trading today. You know, there's the next 10 days show a fair amount of rain coming through the Corn Belt, especially through that Iowa, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, then stretching back into the Dakotas, and then sort of looping down a little bit after we got to the 6 to 10 days. So, you know, quite a bit of rain is going to be falling in the next 10 days across the Midwest, and we're going to see quite a bit of harvest delay. But you know, we're 26% done, and there should be a lot of crop in the commercial's hands to get by for 10 days.
And then as you look forward into the next World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, how do you think things will change? Clearly, soybeans will change some based on the ending stocks. Are there other items that the USDA may include, for instance, the FSA acreage?
I think that, you know, that will be included. I think the one thing, we look for a little bit of an increase in the feed usage, too. The feed usage was a little low, and the residual was about how they figured it last year. And I think that we could see a little increased feed usage because we are really pumping up now on feeding some hogs and cattle, and their prices are up there. I think we're going to continue to feed hogs and cattle. So hopefully a little more feed usage on the corn.
Any final word from you before I let you go for the day?
You know, we're moving right along over in our area, but we are seeing some of the soybean yields taper off a little bit as they get a little farther into it. Not bad, but not 80 or 90 bushels like we heard to begin with, more in the lower to mid-60s.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the afternoon, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Well, you know, if you've listened to me on the air for very long, I've talked a little bit about some decisions I made on my own farm last fall, and there were some reasons behind that, but decided to go soybeans on soybeans. Generally, I'm pretty conservative. However, the experiment just couldn't get past me. Also, this farm was the second furthest farm away from the home place and was off rotation, and on my view as a landlord, I decided I wanted to be planted sooner rather than later, and figured if I was on rotation with the farthest farm out, which is owned by the brothers, that that might help me out over time. And of course, the market last fall was telling you you should plant soybeans. So I talked to Emerson Napsiger about it quite a bit and wanted to know what he thought. He thought there probably would be a 5 to 7 bushel drag on the farm, and I was willing to, you know, make that bet that probably it was. In fact, we're here with my brother Rob, and he pulled the farm off, I think last week sometime, Rob. So how did we turn off on this farm as compared to, I think you've got all your soybeans done for the year, so you probably should have a pretty good idea of how that farm compared to the rest of them.
Yes, we got done last week with all our soybeans. Your farm looks like had about a 10% drag, about that 7 bushel area in it. So That's about what Emerson told you, so I think he was correct.
Yeah, so anyway, we wanted to know what that drag would look like, and I wondered also, Rob, the beans in general, did you think that the farm performed pretty well otherwise? I mean, it's a good yield one way or the other.
Well, yeah, I think it was a great yield. We've had great bean yields around here this year. Of course, you put a little extra money in there when you applied the Olivo. And all in all, if you got a good yield, a little drag compared to non-rotational beans, but I think you'll come out fine on it.
Yeah, so of course there are a couple of things. Not only is there a Olivo on it, and that was my decision, also you had put DAP on that fall as well, so I had 40 pounds of nitrogen that sat there and hopefully will be around for the corn crop, this next corn crop, but we've got to make some fertilization decisions about what will happen for next year at this point, and I don't know, I may have just blown through that nitrogen.
Well, it's a possibility. That's just one of the decisions that farmers have to make from year to year. You're getting a little education coming off the radio work and coming out here to the farm now and seeing what the different decisions you can make and how they affect your long-term aspects. But it's just all part of farming.
And I'll have the numbers in front of me, and I'll be able to tell you what that farm made last year, what the farm made this year, and what the difference in total income. I do not expect, I know that farm won't make as much money this year as it did last year, even if it was priced out on the board the same way. So I guess it's an experiment, and maybe I'm just happy with it.
Well, I can tell you one thing, the brothers, and me included, are tickled that you've got that back into the rotation with the other farms anyway.
Hey, thanks so much, Rob. That's Rob Gleason, my brother. I'm out here on Gleason Farms. I've been helping them out running the auger wagon on what we call the Irish farm here in Logan County, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows around the nation 26% of the corn crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average, by the way, is 17%. Soybeans are dropping leaves on 83% of the acreage. The five-year average is 75%, and 23% of that crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 20%. Now, here are some updates from Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana from their state statisticians.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Soggy conditions persisted for yet another week, leaving Iowa farmers with just 3.1 days suitable for field work last week. Activities for the week included seeding cover crops and harvesting corn, soybeans, and hay when weather permitted. While topsoil moisture supplies in south central Iowa have improved to above 70% rated adequate to surplus, subsoil moisture levels still rated 59% short to very short. 88% of the corn crop was mature, just over a week ahead of average. 11% of the state's corn crop has been harvested 5 days ahead of average. Farmers in southeast Iowa continue to lead the way with 29% of their corn for grain harvested. Moisture content of the field corn being harvested was at 21%. Corn condition rated 75% good to excellent. Nearly all of the soybean crop was coloring, with 88% dropping leaves, 9 days ahead of average. 15% of the soybean crop has been harvested, 1 day ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 74% good to excellent. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was nearly complete, at 98%. Pasture conditions improved slightly to 53% good to excellent. Pastures have responded well to recent rains and cooler temperatures. Muddy conditions made feedlots challenging. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Southern areas were 1 to 2 degrees above average temperatures, while northern areas were 1 to 4 degrees below normal. Rainfall amounts ranged from 1/3 of an inch to more than 2.5 inches last week. Overall, the state received an average of nearly 1 inch of rain, which is 1/4 of an inch above normal. There was an average of 5.5 days suitable for field work around the state last week. Corn harvest reached 48% finished compared to 20% 1 year ago and 25% for the 5 year average. The Illinois corn crop was rated as 6% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 14 fair, and 80% of acres in good to excellent condition. Soybeans are now 35% harvested compared to 27% last year and 20% normally. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 7% very poor to poor, 13 fair, and 80% good to excellent. Wheat planting is now 8% finished compared to 7% normally. The Illinois sorghum crop is now 33% harvested compared to 23% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding everyone to be on the lookout for harvest activities as you drive in rural areas.
This is Jim Cullum with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 30th, 2018. Wet weather slowed harvest for some growers last week, while others were unaffected, according to Greg Matley, state statistician, USDA NAS, Indiana Field Office. Some areas of the southern part of the state saw significant rainfall that caused combines to be sidelined, while growers in the northern part of the state were able to harvest with fewer delays. The average temperature for the week was 62.4 degrees, 1.4 degrees above normal for the state. The amount of rainfall varied from 0.28 to 4.23 inches during the week. The statewide average precipitation was 1.62 inches, and there were 4.4 days available for field work. Growers continue to harvest corn, soybeans, popcorn, processing vegetables, silage, seed corn, and apples when weather allowed. Winter wheat was planted where time and conditions allowed, and farmers are signing up for the market facilitation program at their local Farm Service Agency office. USDA wishes all Indiana farmers a safe harvest. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 30th, 2018. This is Jim Cullum reporting.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending September 30th, 2018. Another week of scattered rainfall created muddy field conditions, making harvest a challenge in some areas. There were 3.8 days rated suitable for field work during the week. Activities did include harvesting corn and soybeans, dryable beans, potatoes, sunflowers, and sugar beets. There were some reports of fall tillage work being conducted as well. Corn mature was 87%, that's 12 days ahead of the 5-year average. The harvest of corn for grain at 8% complete was over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Corn for silage harvest was at 93% complete, and that's 12 days ahead of average. Corn crop condition was rated 78% good to excellent. 94% of the soybean crop was dropping leaves over 2 weeks ahead of average. 27% of the soybean crop was harvested, and that's 10 days ahead of last year and 1 day ahead of average. Soybean condition was rated 72% good to excellent. And finally, pasture conditions were rated 51% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians in Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana for their updates. The weekly crop progress, we bring those to you each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget, you can listen to us as a podcast if you'd like anytime you want online at willag.org, in iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and the NPR One app. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks for being with me.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
So let's talk a little bit about where the price of crude oil is, has been, and might go. I think it's been pretty high as of recent.
Well, that's right. We had the crude oil market come to life here in mid to late September. It kind of went in a sideways consolidation phase for a lot of the month of September and tried to set back, but just couldn't get much push on the downside. So the market turned and has come back up in the last Oh, I'd say in the last 3 weeks or so here, we've come up more than $5 in crude oil. So right now we're trading around $75 a barrel, which is the highest price that we've seen in the lead month of crude oil in about 3 to 4 years. You'd have to go all the way back into, I think, late 2014 to come up with prices at these levels.
Why is this the case?
Well, I think what we've had is we've had a feeling that some of the Iranian oil that has been coming out on the market will be going away there in early November due to some sanctions, and so there's been concerns about that. And also, when you look at some of the world oil demand numbers, oil demand continues strong, and it's interesting to see this world oil demand chart. It continues to march higher. So you get ebbs and flows in prices, but you don't get much ebbs and flows in demand. Demand seems to just continually march to higher levels almost each year.
How does it incorporate into the seasonals? You often talk about those driving the marketplace.
Well, that's true, yeah. The seasonals right in here now point to even higher prices into mid to late October. Then the seasonals point to another downward slide into November, sometimes all the way out to Thanksgiving, early December even. So we'll see if we can get much of a sell-off at that time. Again, the seasonal sell-off in September didn't go down very far. So we're hoping that the sell-off in November heads a little further down to give us some opportunities to start contracting some product for 2019.
That was my next question. So now is not the time to, if you're a producer, contract diesel fuel.
That's right. That's right. It right now, get the crop harvested, stay safe out there, and then after harvest, we'll look for opportunities over the next 3 to 4 months. I'm not in any hurry to chase the rally here now. We'll look for opportunities on price breaks. They tend to come. It's just sometimes hard to predict exactly when they're going to, but we'll look for opportunities down the road to do some buying for next year or the next 3 to 4 month time period.
It looks like we are due maybe for some rainfall in our part of the world that will delay harvest. And while that may be the case, the crop has been coming off pretty quickly and pretty dry here. However, the further north and west you go, the more delayed they've been, the more rainfall they've had. I suspect they'll need to put in LP supplies at some point. So tell me a little bit about what that market looks like.
Well, that market's been holding strong. We've had not as much demand for propane this fall just because of these dry moisture levels. But you're right, out in the northern and western areas, the ground has been very wet. So now it'll be interesting to see if the moisture levels of the crop are actually wet also or not. That remains to be seen. But there is the possibility, at least, that we could use some propane out in those areas. And with yields great in most areas, or good in most areas, we could actually use some propane. Propane supplies in the U.S. are very adequate, as are diesel fuel here going into the later throes of harvest around here. And again, like we said, out in the northern and western areas, they still have quite a bit to do.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. He is with GrowMark. When we come back here on the Closing Market Report, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Ice Cream Sandwich Day. The ice cream treat was likely invented in the summer of 1900 on the Lower East Side of New York City. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, the first U.S. national income tax was passed to aid the Union War effort. In 1866, the first patent for a tin can with a key opener was issued in the U.S. In 1887, numerous websites give credit to Rowell Hodge for the patent of barbed wire. But history shows that Joseph Glidden is the father of modern barbed wire. The DeKalb, Illinois native attended a country fair where he witnessed a demonstration of a wooden rail with sharp nails protruding along its sides. It inspired Glidden to fashion barbs on an improvised coffee bean grinder, placing them on a smooth wire and then twisting another wire around the first to hold it in place. And in 1966, Richard Shoup died, an American pathologist. He was the first to identify an influenza virus and first to vaccinate animals against influenza. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether out of town or out of time, with Busey's mobile, deposit checks, view balances, and pay people and bills from your device. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason in the field again this afternoon at Gleason Farms in Logan County. We're now joined by Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, I know here in our part of the world, farmers are really concerned as they're looking out and seeing several wet days. So tell me about how wet and how much rainfall across the whole of the Corn Belt and who might get the most and who may not get much.
It certainly does look like it's going to be getting wet, and in some areas that have been getting wet going back through the summer season. Over the course of the next 10 days or so, we are looking at several systems bringing showers and thunderstorms that will stretch from central Oklahoma through central and eastern Kansas through Iowa, western northern Missouri, and the southern Wisconsin, then kind of arcing eastward across central and northern Illinois and in the northwest Indiana. That area I just outlined is likely going to have the heaviest precipitation, and there is going to be some areas, maybe in southern and southwestern areas of Iowa, extreme southeastern Nebraska, that over the next 10 to 14 days could see amounts of rain that could be in excess of 4 to 8 inches. Some other areas of the central and northern and western Corn Belt could see 2 to 5 inches of rainfall. Now, that's not going to happen all at once. This is going to be spread out, but it's going to be a pretty active pattern. So concerns for wet, muddy fields certainly there as we look ahead.
So how wet were they in those areas to begin with, and how much of a problem do you think this is for producers?
Well, I think the biggest concern is certainly going to be in sections of northern Iowa, into southern areas of Wisconsin, and maybe northwest areas of Illinois. Now, some of the areas that are going to get a lot of rain, like west central areas of Missouri, some areas of eastern Kansas, the ground is probably going to take up more there as it has been drier for the growing season. But I think the northern areas of the Corn Belt, north central, is where I think we could see some delays.
Any place else that we have to worry about at this point?
Well, I would certainly keep an eye on the Gulf Coast. With an area of high pressure that's building along the East Coast and low pressure and stormy weather in the western states, that sort of puts the tropics in a favorable position that in the next week or two, we could see some more tropical storm or even hurricane activity along the Gulf Coast, southeast United States. We're not out of the woods yet.
Ian, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us for the day.
Thanks.
That, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason from the field this afternoon in Logan County, where we're harvesting corn.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, supporting the next generation of farmers with the Fresh Roots Young and Beginning Farmer Program, offering lending assistance and learning incentives to equip today's newest farmers for a healthy start in their farming careers.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.